NBC Radio News, Frank Gorin reporting. President Ford underwent a three-hour routine physical checkup this morning, and NBC's John Cochran reports on the results at Bethesda Naval Hospital in Maryland.
Navy physician William Lukash gave the president a clean bill of health without any ifs, ands, or buts. Lukash said Mr. Ford is in even better shape now than he was a year ago. A few months ago, Dr. Lukash was worried that the president was getting a little heavy, so Mr. Ford went on a diet, and he's sticking to it, according to his doctor. So far as the president's health is concerned, there appears to be no roadblock to his running for election next year. There is, of course, the question of Mrs. Ford's health following her cancer operation last fall, but doctors continue to be optimistic about Mrs. Ford's recovery.
Mr. Ford smiled and waved to a small crowd outside the hospital and said, "I feel great." I'll have more news after this.
Hey now, don't let your empty room ever get you down. You can fill the silence with a smile. And don't let the crowds on the streets make you feel like you were just a stranger in town. If you feel happy, or if you want to weep, or you want a warm word before you sleep, remember,
carpenters sing for the Bell System. Good friends are for keeps, so keep in touch. Long distance is the next best thing to being there.
Good friends are forever. Good friends are for keeps.
A hand grenade was thrown at a group of Israeli soldiers today in the occupied Gaza Strip. It exploded without injuring the troops, who then began firing in the direction from which the grenade was thrown. An Arab boy and girl were killed. It's not known whether they were involved in the grenade attack. Deaths caused by flu declined last week, but the 680 influenza deaths reported nationwide kept the figure on the epidemic level. A spokesman for the Communicable Disease Center in Atlanta says the flu bug is expected to disappear sometime next month.
You know, I think the influenza season's usually runs over a 10 to 12 week period of time. I think we have till mid-February in some regions of the country before we see it really decreasing.
Most of the flu fatalities have been reported in the south, east, and central regions of the country. Leaders of the world's oil-exporting nations are meeting today in Algiers. They have decided to hold an OPEC summit conference in February or March. At that time, they will discuss strategy for a planned meeting with consuming countries. The oil minister of Iran says that meeting probably will be held early this summer in Paris. A Beirut newspaper reports that Saudi Arabia is setting up an international advisory group to include Americans and British who will advise the Saudis on how to invest their enormous oil profits. It's expected Saudi Arabia will have accumulated more than $30 billion in monetary reserves by next year. Two of America's biggest oil companies, Texaco and Mobil, reported a decline in profits for the last 3 months of 74. Same companies reported a gain in profits earlier in the year. You're listening to NBC News.
Oh, ho, ho, do you know the little blue jug named Dynamo? It goes a long, long way, it's true. Just see what a quarter cup can do.
Just a quarter cup of Dynamo liquid detergent cleans a whole wash and even works on tough, greasy stains.
No powder can make all these claims. It wash for wash, it costs the same.
For a whole wash with its greasy stains, the little blue jug works better than powders.
Oh, ho, ho, now you know the little blue jug is Dynamo.
Secretary of State Kissinger told the World Affairs Council in Los Angeles last night that Congress and the White House are not cooperating on key economic and energy matters, and he blamed critics in Congress for the demise of the U.S.-Soviet trade bill. The critics are those who wanted changes in Russia's immigration policies for Jews. After the speech, Kissinger flew to San Clemente, where he met with former President Nixon, the first meeting between the two men since Mr. Nixon resigned last August. 11 crew members of a British freighter drowned today when they abandoned ship during a gale off the southern coast of England. Two crewmen were rescued. The ship sank after the cargo of coal dust shifted during the storm. Bangladesh has changed its form of government, abolishing its three-year-old parliamentary democracy, setting up a one-party system headed by a president who is Sheikh Mujibur Rahman. The Hour's lead story, President Ford underwent a physical checkup this morning at Bethesda Naval Hospital in Maryland and was pronounced in fine shape. Frank Gorin, NBC News.
Big Wilson, the last weekend of Monitor, we're getting calls from, so many places, many radio stations who are carrying Monitor saying the switchboards are lighted up. Well, this was has been coming for some time now. Just had a call from a lady in Bozeman, Montana, said, don't go. Okay, thank you, I'll stay. However, you'll never hear me. Anyway, we're doing a lot of things through this last weekend without sobbing out loud, past guests and glories. Groucho Marx, some weird sounds. Did you ever hear a shrimp snap? You will.
And he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. They really brought him down because he could not jam. The captain seemed to understand, because the next year the cap went out and drafted the band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. A root, a toot, a tootie, a toot. He blows eight to the bar. In boogie rhythm, he can't blow a note. Let the bass and guitar playing with him. And the company jumps on the Epris Reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He was some boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. When he plays boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a busy bee. When he played, he made the company jump eight to the bar. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Then out of tootly, out of tootly, out of doot doot, he goes eight to the bar. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
sleep a boogie every night. And wake them up to say we're in the early bright. They clap their hands and they stamp their feet, cause they know how it goes. The sun will get some people.
That's Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy, Bette Midler. Oh, fine, fine. I am Big Wilson, and these...
Ho, 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 do you know the little blue jug named Dynamo? It goes a long, long way, it's true. Just see what a quarter cup can do.
Just a quarter cup of Dynamo liquid detergent cleans a whole wash and even works on tough, greasy stains.
No powder can make all these claims. It wash for wash, it costs the same.
For a whole wash with its greasy stains, the little blue jug works better than powders.
Oh, ho, ho, now you know the little blue jug is Dynamo.
As you probably know, or may not, I don't know, but in the 20 years that Monitor's been on the air, we've talked with just about everybody of any consequence you ever heard of in just about every field of human endeavor, I guess. Well, you don't mind if we pat ourselves a little on the back this last weekend, all right? Anyway, we'd like to meet these people, ask them questions, and sometimes we'd get unexpected answers. For example, if you ask Groucho Marx what his pet peeve was, he'd expect something funny, right? We were wrong. Listen.
Well, I have a lot of pet hates, but you can't do that in 3 minutes. This would take about 2 weeks. I hate noise, for example. I hate things that are forced upon you and which you have no recourse at all. There's no way you can come back, such as this constant notion that the American must be entertained 24 hours a day by music in the elevators and canned music in restaurants and even at the ballpark. Half the audience there is not only wants to see the baseball game, but they carry a small radio with them so they'll be sure to hear what they're watching, so there'll be no uncertainty that if a man ran to first base, they not only want to see it, but they want the assurance from the announcer that he actually didn't run to second base instead of first base. This is a kind of a loss of confidence in the average American has in everything. I don't know what it comes from. I guess the people are uneasy and are soothed by constant noise, or call it music, or... But the noise is everywhere. I know you see a fellow with a sports car, and when he starts that car and he goes down a main street, he makes as much noise as a fellow does on the Indianapolis Speedway. And the police don't bother with this at all. But if you take 1 foot off the curb when the sign is against you, you can spend 10 years in jail for that, and nobody's worried about that.
Okay, some inequities. Serious talk from a very funny man, Groucho Marx. Music, I guess, is something else from noise, as long as it's used with discretion. A little talk, a little rambling man.
My father was a gambler down.
That's a rambling man on monitor. In about 3 minutes, we're going to give you a sampling of some of the strange sounds we've broadcast through the years. I don't mean John Tucker's voice. No. You just stay with us on the Monitor Beacon.
Makosa. Kosa. Mama ku mama sa mama ku mama ku sa mama ku mama sa mama ku mama ku sa mama ku mama sa mama ku mama ku sa mama ku mama sa mama mama ku sa.
Wilson, John Bartholomew Tucker, and I with you for the last weekend of Monitor. I mentioned the sound of a snapping shrimp a while back. Remember? We won't have to remember too much longer. You'll hear that snapping shrimp in about 3 minutes. This is the sound of Jim Croce.
Little south side of Chicago, little Vedder's auto town. And if you go down there, you better just beware of a man named Leroy Brown. Now Leroy, morning trouble. About 6'4". All the downtown ladies call him Treetop Lover. All the men just call him Sir. And he's fast, fast Leroy Brown. The fattest man in the whole damn town. Better than old King Kong. And meaner than the junkyard dog. Now Leroy, he a gambler. And he likes his fancy clothes. And he likes to wave his diamond rings in front of everybody's nose. He got a custom Continental. He got a Eldorado too. He got a 32 gun in his pocket for fun. He got a razor in his shoe.
Bad, bad Leroy Brown. Back in the days when Monitor used to be on the air right through the weekend, 32 hours worth at least, we had time to cover about everything and anything we wanted. And since we're the medium that uses sounds without pictures, we check out some of the sounds you might not ordinarily hear. So here are a few of them. This first one, recorded on a microphone, lowered into the Gulf of Mexico. The sound of snapping shrimp. Funny? Sounds kind of like a ticker tape, yeah? All right, how about this one? Can you guess what this is? Who said riveters? Not right. Those were fish, the croaker, or the hardhead variety, you know. As long as we're still in the ocean, how about another type of swimming sound? It almost is like singing, isn't it? It's funny. It sounds like Flipper or something. Well, it was porpoises. And now let's get out of the water, dry off. We'll encounter another kind of sound. I don't know what that sounds like to you. It is actually the laughing jackass bird of Australia. Nobody in management, I'm certain. No, no. Finally, a set of sounds from Monitor Past. That's the monitor staff at the commissary at lunchtime. As a matter of fact, it isn't. It's wolves at lunchtime at a local zoo. And that's the same thing. All right. Those are sounds of the past, animal sounds, that is. We'll be hearing more people from now on. For instance, we'll be hearing from John Mathis. Oh, what year was this? Help, help. 1958. 7. It's not for me to say.
It's not for me to say you love me. It's not for me to say you'll always care. Oh, but here for the moment I can hold you fast and press your lips to mine. Can see this is heaven, and speaking just for me, it's ours to share. Perhaps the glory.
Hi, this is Big Wilson on monitor.
Well, this is Ted Brown's Filipino man. I'll see if he's in with us.
Oh, thank you, sir. Right.
The monitor's calling a guy called Big Wilson.
Big Wilson, really?
Yeah, you want to talk to him?
Yeah, I'll talk to him. Hi, Big.
Hi, Teddy. How are you?
Okay.
I didn't know you had a Filipino houseboy.
You know, I made quite a bit doing monitor.
Yeah, I suppose you did. How long were you on monitor?
Well, I think I was on about a couple of years, I guess.
Yeah. Did you finally run away with Nina Van Pallant?
How did you know? Listen, I hear this is going to be the last show.
Yes, and we wanted you to be part of it.
That's too bad. That saddens me, because I thought Monitor would really perform a service all over the country.
Well, I've certainly enjoyed doing it, and the big thing about it is I get to talk to so many nice people.
That's right.
But I did want to talk to you, too.
Well, I know I found the same thing true when I was doing it, that we had interviews with such great people, and all except, of course, Nina Van Pallant.
Whatever happened with Nina Van Pallant?
Well, actually, we came into the studio, and her manager turned to Steve White and said, "Who's going to be interviewing her?" And I was standing right next to Steve, and he said, "Ted Brown." And he had already told him that downstairs, and he said, "Well, who is he?" And I said, "I'm Ted Brown. Who are you?" And from then, from that moment on, it was like, you know, forget it.
That's where it all started and stopped. That's fun. Teddy, I know you're on WNEW here in New York in the afternoon, and you said nice words about Monitor. I kind of hate to see it go, too.
Well, I think that everything must change, but I think that Monitor can be proud of the job it's done for these many years. It's just, it's been a part of the lives of people all over the country. And I know from the mail that I got when I was on, from my mother-in-law sewing a sweater for a lady in Wisconsin to doing exercise music, everybody seemed to enjoy it. You know, it was family radio.
Yeah, and that was one of the fine things that you did. That was it, David Rose, the stripper? I wish there was some way we could do that today to wind up this interview, just to bring back that memory of Monitor.
Well, there isn't any really way we can do it except if you've got the music, I've got the mouth. Come on, honey. Get out of that kitchen. Get in the living room. Better this time, baby. Grab onto those drapes and start swinging. Yeah, honey. Come on. You've been a mother. You've been a wife. You've been everything all week long. Now, come on, baby. It's your time to move it. Let's get your mojo working. Ooh, that's good. How's that?
Oh, that's great, Teddy. That's good stuff. Thank you very much. Continued success to you.
Give my best to all the people behind the scenes, because they made it all happen, too. All the directors and engineers and assistant directors and everybody. Writers?
I'll tell them both.
Okay. Bye, Monitor.
Bye, Teddy. That's Ted Brown. Matter of fact, let's re-cue that record, because we have a lot of the girls from Monitor here. Let's see, Joni's here, and Joni. I said Joni and Joycey. Yeah. And they're all going to do their version of Ted Brown's exercise music for you on the radio network. Louise, all right, Louise. There's a lot of grunting and groaning, girls. Let's go. Some kind of groaning, a little action. One of the girls got a little arthritis that hurts, you know. Oh, that's the way to go. When I die, I want to be bumped off. Look here. I'm Big Wilson. We're all on Monitor the final weekend, and there's more to come.
NBC Update. I'm Frank Gorin with an update report on the news. President Ford was pronounced in fine shape this morning after a three-hour physical examination at Bethesda Naval Hospital in Maryland. Physician William Lukash said the president is in better shape now than he was in January of 74, date of his last checkup. Mr. Ford left the hospital, waved at a crowd, and said, "I feel great." OPEC oil exporters meeting in Algiers have decided to hold a summit conference within a month or so. They'll debate strategy on dealing with consuming nations when the two sides meet face-to-face, probably in Paris this summer. A Beirut newspaper reports that Saudi Arabia plans to set up an international advisory group to counsel it on how to spend its massive oil profits. Saudi Arabia is expected to amass more than $30 billion in monetary reserves by next year. In the occupied Gaza Strip this morning, a hand grenade was thrown at a group of Israelis. Nobody was hurt, but the soldiers fired back and wounded an Arab boy and girl. It was unclear whether they were involved in the grenade attack. A private two-engine plane crashed today on the campus of Washington's American University. No one on the ground was injured, but firemen pulled two bodies from the plane's wreckage, the bodies not immediately identified. Henry Kissinger took aim at Congress last night. In a speech before the World Trade Council in Los Angeles, Kissinger blamed congressional critics for the demise of the U.S.-Soviet trade agreement. This is Frank Gorin, NBC Update.
Wilson, John Bartholomew Tucker, and I, your hosts for this final weekend of Monitor, alive, barely, and still kicking, singing and dancing our way through the final weekend, reminiscing with old friends and fellow hosts, and playing some of the music of the past 20 years, to wit, from 1958.
Your side.
seems to me one of the best things I do is take people's places. Well, obviously, if you move on to some other job, you replace somebody. I moved on to Cleveland in 1956 and replaced a man who has been a monitor host. Oh, I don't know, when were you a monitor host, John?
Well, shortly after that, Big. As a matter of fact, you did a good job in replacing me in Cleveland. I understand the ratings jumped and stayed.
I'm talking to Johnny Andrews. I'm not sure of that because I was doing your act, Johnny. I played piano and did the morning show there.
Well, let's say I warmed the audience up for you
sure.
For 4 years in Cleveland.
You had them on the run. Do you have any memorable things that occurred while you were on monitor here?
Well, I think everything on monitor was memorable. In all the years, now, you and I have done how many hours in front of NBC microphones?
Some.
Good many thousands of hours. And I think that Monitor was the most fun of all the shows we ever did. I like to think back to Walter Kiernan, who was my partner particularly. He was such a warm man and such a wit. And if you remember the early days of Monitor, we had, I don't know whether the producers knew this, but we had sort of an unwritten rule that we never looked at the script until we got on the air. And consequently, a lot of things came out that we didn't expect to come out.
I'm sure of it. You had two hosts in those days. You were called communicators.
Side by side, yeah. Uh-huh. And Walter was my partner most of the time, but I had, at different times, Monty Hall for a while.
Oh, great.
And Hugh Downs at one time, and Morgan Beatty, and he was interesting because he was up on everything that was happening in Washington, you know, so it was an education. But Walter Kiernan was such a charmer.
Yeah, he sure was. Well, the monitor has certainly changed over the years, too. We talked about that. I guess it was kind of gradual as times changed, the content of monitor changed, but the purpose, you know, talking with people and playing music, I think that's a good radio.
Well, it was what, they set out to make it sound like it was the weekend radio service of NBC, and it was particularly good if you were driving along. You know, you could be heading west, and if it would run out on one radio station, you could simply turn your dial and pick it up again. You had it on the network. You could pick it up all the way across the country, and of course we were up to the minute on everything that was happening. Despite the fact that a lot of the things were recorded and planned in advance, we used to jump in with something. I think Charlie Garman might remember do you remember the interview we did one time with a fellow who had just gotten out of prison in Havana?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you're... this came to mind while I was coming over here. It was a Saturday morning, and this probably would have been in the early 1960s, and the name Castro was still an electrifying name. And this man was an NBC correspondent who had been put in jail there for a couple of days. And then Castro suddenly realized he had hot potato with him. So he released him. And it was a Saturday morning. And we got the word. I think I was on with Walter from noon to four that afternoon. And we got the word about 11 o'clock that this man had been released and he was on a plane and he was coming to New York. So we'd have a chance to interview him. Now, this was a front page story coming
up.
So he came in, and he was in fatigues. He hadn't shaved. He was dirty. He had just come right from the prison. And we started the interview, and it was just fascinating right off the bat. His story was great, but he told us something that about Castro. He said apparently he had a sudden change of heart because he came in his limousine and took him from the prison right to the airport, put him on the plane. And I happened to notice in his chest pocket he had a big Havana cigar. And I said, well, you ended up with something out of Havana anyway. He said, do you smoke? I don't. And he gave me the cigar, and I lit it up, and during the interview I was thinking, here I'm smoking a cigar that was in probably the most talked about man of the time in his pocket 4 hours ago. That was on monitor.
Boy, that's amazing. It's an exciting
show.
I know, but it's exciting, and it always is. And it's been fun to talk with you. Johnny Andrews, one of the great hosts of Monitor. Thank you for stopping in.
Thank you, Big, and good luck, and I wish we had Monitor forever.
Amen. Playing some of the oldies on this final weekend of Monitor. This goes back to 1964 from the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
the things that start and end like that. The Beatles. 1964, yeah. Well, things have a way of ending at that, don't they? Why did I say that? On the final weekend of Monitor, onward, onward, no philosophy. I'll only say that I am Big Wilson, and we're on the Monitor Beacon. Monitor, Big Wilson again, Terminal Monitor. Oh, what am I saying? We're going off the air at the end of this weekend after 20 years. What makes it bearable is finding that we have so many friends. Leonard Birnbaum, for example, of Pear Tree Imports, he was a guest here on Monitor a month or so ago, sent up a case of the bubbly, some Criterre, to help wash our tears away. Here's to you, Len, thank you. And now Jose Feliciano, calling for a bit of warmth, and he's not rubbing two sticks together, I don't think.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. Only lose, and our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
Feliciano and Light My Fire. Now, if we have some younger folks listening, you may not be familiar with the great comedian Jimmy Durante. Let me preface this next bit of A Monitor's Past with the information that Durante used to end his radio and television programs with a mysterious kind of phrase. He'd say, "Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are." And for years, he refused to reveal the identity of Mrs. Calabash. But when he finally did, in 1966 at the National Press Club, we heard it on Monitor.
Folks, I see a lot of cards here. Who is Mrs. Calabash? Now, I'm just balancing the question in my mind. That's the correct word, balancer.
It's all right.
And I really don't know if I should. Now, we have a lot of great minds in the audience tonight. Maybe this is the spot. What do you think? I appreciate that. I really do. Years ago, Mrs. and I, this is of course Mrs. Durante, used to drive cross country, and we came across a beautiful little town at Mrs. Calabash, west of Chicago, and we stopped there overnight, and she loved it. Lord have mercy on her soul. And really loved it. And I said, well, I was playing piano then. And I said, as soon as I get rich, I'll buy the town. So, gentlemen, Mrs. Calabash, that I refer to it all the time on our radio shows and television shows, was Mrs. Jean Durante. Of course, every time we got home, I used to call her Mrs. Calabash. So while with Gary Moore, I don't know, just a feeling came over me, and at the end of the program, I said, good night, Mrs. Calabash. So they all wanted to know, Gary Moore, Phil Conte, the whole cast wanted to know, what was that all about? I said, nothing. So we kept doing that. And then at the end of that season's program, they wanted to take, they says, well, let's say it's a horse, or let's say it's something, anything. And I said, no. So then I added, wherever you are. And that gentleman is Mrs. Calabash, was Mrs. Jean Durante. And I'm glad now that I divulged it. And, of course, this is a wonderful honor. A wonderful honor for me, to be invited to the National Press Club. Greatest in the world. Kid raised on the east side of New York. And where could it happen, or it could happen in America. Thanks a million for inviting me.
Jimmy Durante, back in 1966. And we'd like to say hello, Mr. Durante, wherever you are, and wish him well. Now, a couple of pretty fair yodelers who were heard a great deal back in over these airways, I'm sure, back when they were working steady. Too bad they're out of work now. It's Pa and Daughter Sinatra, Frank and Nancy. Something Stupid. That's the title, friends. Not a critique. That's the name of the song.
I know I stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me. And if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me. And afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. Saying something stupid like I love you. I can see it in your eyes that you despise the same old lies you heard the night before. And though it's just a line to you, for me it's true and never seemed so right before. I practice every day to find some clever lines to say to make the meaning come true. But then I think I'll wait until the evening gets late and I'm alone with you. The time is right, your perfume fills my head, the stars get red and oh, the night's so blue. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you.
Frank and Nancy and Something Stupid on Monitor. This is Biggie again. There's so many calls coming in from the radio stations which carry Monitor and individual calls from people. We can't talk to each of you individually, I'm sure, as you well know. But there's one man who might represent how you feel. I would hope that that's so anyway. His name is Warren Gerby. Mr. Gerby, are you on the wire?
Yes, I am. Hello there, Biggie.
It's nice to talk with you. Let me explain who you are first. You're a fellow out in Queens who has been a fan, certainly, of Monitor for all of its years, all of its 20 years.
Right.
And you were kind enough, sir, to send a rose for each year of Monitor, which sits on the Monitor desk right here. The most beautiful bouquet of roses I've ever seen. And everybody here says thank you. You sent a great letter to the big boss, and we're all grateful to you. The girls tell me to tell you that you're a darling, whatever that means.
Oh, thank you very much. With my pleasure for all the enjoyment you've given me all these past years. I just wanted to do something just for Monitor.
Well, that's really nice. We really do appreciate it. And as I say, it kind of represents some of the calls that we've been getting here. What do you do for a living, Mr. Gerby?
Teach school here in Flushing, Queens.
That's great. How'd you get with Monitor? Were you there the very first show?
Well, my father used to listen to it a long time ago, and then he got me hooked on it. And then I used to listen every weekend while I was doing my homework. And, you know, going to college, and I've been teaching now for 7 years, and I just hooked with it, you know. And I missed Arlene Francis and Hugh Downs and Nichols and May and all the old people.
Well, they'll all be on sometime during the weekend, today or tomorrow, all those fine Monitor hosts and communicators and so on. What do you think we ought to put on in place of it?
Well, I don't think anything can replace it. It's only one Monitor, as they said before.
You certainly say the right things, I'm sure of that, Mr. Gerby. And again, I want to thank you for being such a good friend to send in those beautiful flowers and for your nice note. We all appreciate it.
Fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Bye. That's Warren Gerby out in Queens. And a fine fellow indeed. Fine fellow. And, you know, as we say, things start and things have a middle and things end. And this is the end of this one. That's all today and tomorrow. John Bartholomew Tucker and I will sit here and talk to some of the great people who've been part of this great program. On Monitor, John Bartholomew Tucker and I, Big Wilson. The last Saturday hour coming up for me, and we've got a lot of great things for you in that hour, so I hope that you can stay right where you are. Okay? Promise? All right. I'll be back in a few minutes, and you'll find that NBC News is next.